The whole tefillah of this time of the year is Rabbi Yisrael Atat Tzivi Sana Deimai Shavdecha. This was Sfiras Ha'ayim Mekadela Tahareinu Mekili Paiseinu Umetumayseinu. That we ask the Rabbi Yisrael every single night of Sfira, and the tefillah that we daven for every night of Sfira carries us through the entire day, each day of Sfira, is the Rabbi Yisrael, you commanded us through Moshe Rabbeinu to count Sfiras Ha'ayim, and you revealed to us that the tachlis of this sphere of these days is kedei l'tahareinu mikli peyseinu umetumayseinu, is in order to purify us from all the klipas, from all of the things in our lives that are unwanted, that are not good, umetumayseinu, and from all the tumas that have crept into our lives. Kedei shiyitaru nafshais amchi yisrael mizuhamasa, so that the souls of your people, yourself, should be purified from all that's impure, from all that's unholy. The Zohar HaKadosh in Parshas Amar, the translation of the Sulam, says, "Kishayotzu Yisrael miMitzrayim, when we went out from Mitzrayim, yotzu mitumas achitzayim." Leaving Mitzrayim was not only leaving the slavery of those people and of that place, but was leaving the slavery of the chitzayim, of the other side, of all the kaiches of tumah, of all destructive midas. And the Zohar says, "V'alsu Pesach lechol al shulchan avihem," and we brought the carbon Pesach to eat by our father's table. "Umisham v'hala yasu cheshbain," and then the Baruch Shalom told us from that point on to make a cheshbin, to count. Sfiras Ha'ayim. "V'elohem chamishim yomim shel tahara," and these are 50 days of purification. "Kedei lekabelas ha'tayra," in order that we be people who are able to receive the Torah. This is the lashon of the Zohar in Parshas Amar. In Yisro, the Zohar adds, "Ki b'chol yoyim haitzi yosan mikoyach tuma achas." Each and every day of Sfiras Ha'ayim, the original Sfiras Ha'ayim back then, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam took us out each and every day from a specific aspect, a specific manifestation of the koyach tuma of that world of Mitzrayim. And that happens now also, each and every day. Every single day, each and every day, depending upon the midah of that day and what's happening that day, according to the midah of Chesed Shebechesed and so on, each and every day the Baruch Shalom helps us and makes available to us this tremendous koyach to be able to leave the Meitzar, the Mitzrayim of that particular midah of that tumah, uchenegda heviyason lekayach tahara. And for each gate of tumah that we exit, the Baruch Shalom helps us enter into a place, into a midah of tahara. So this is the avoda of this time of the year. During the winter, we were learning about the Indian of Kedushas Einayim, the holiness of the eyes, and perfecting our vision. And Bez Hashem will continue with that after the summer. But this time of the year, we always try to focus on Taharis Hamidus. That's the Rasan Hashem. So we work on a particular Midah and focus on a particular Midah. And during this time, I want to Davke focus on one particular midah, which is a Pesach, which is an opening to the avoda of all other midahs. And without working on this midah, it's impossible for us to accomplish anything in Taharas HaMidahs. The Bali Musa often quote the Pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech says, "Ir Ketana Va'Anoshim Bo Ma'at." There is a small city that is sparsely inhabited, a small city with few people. And the Bali Musa always quote Chazal on this to tell us that the Ir Ketana, the small city, is a marshal for man himself. That each and every one of us is like a small city. The Gemara talks about that in the Dharam also. Each and every one of us is a small city. Now, the Tzaddik and the Bali Musa tell us that when it comes to conducting the affairs of any particular city, the way that it's done is that responsibilities have to be divided, and it's important to delegate different officials in a government, cabinet members, obviously in the level of state and city, there are different people who are responsible. This person is responsible for education. This one is in charge of transportation. And this one's in charge of energy. And this one's in charge of water and so on. And every single machleka in each of these divisions or departments, usually each one is headed by a person who's a mumchu, who's an expert in that particular field of education or transportation and so on. And he has memunim, people who are appointed by him or under him, that are also educated in this area and are familiar and are balikishun, are talented in this particular area. And in order for the city to be conducted in a healthy and effective way, it's absolutely essential that each of these appointed officials focuses on his particular tafkid. If we have a situation where the fellow that's in charge, and there's also the lady, you know, you get in trouble with these, you know, that the person who's in charge of let's say of health in that particular city, if the person who's in charge of health takes a very, very strong interest in transportation and starts to get mixed into the inyanim of the Department of Transportation. So even though this person is a gewaldige, talented, intelligent, capable, sincere individual, and he's tremendously effective in the Department of Health, but if that same person starts to mix himself into inyanim of transportation, he starts to make suggestions and to push his opinion across regarding the highways and the toll booths of that particular place and how many lights there should be at this intersection or that intersection. So we understand that even though the person is extremely mukhshar, he's very good, he's very talented at what he does, but the result of this crossing over from one tafkid to another tafkid is going to cause an unbelievable erbuvia, confusion in the entire Malchus, in the entire Ir Kitana, in that little city. And even though it's a small city, there's going to be an upheaval in the city, because every machlaka, every department of that town, of that city, must be responsible for its particular inyan being accomplished, and therefore each person has to remain in his tchum. This is the way it is in any small town. And that's why, even in little villages, there are always different machlokes and problems. And when do the machlokes take place? When this person from this machlaka wants to have a say in the other one's machlaka, and how to work these inyanim out in every town, even tiny little villages, there are machlokes. So when it comes to men, and in the shul also, when it comes to men, and men is an ir ktana, man is compared to a small town, not a bustling metropolis, but to a small town. So when it comes to a person has different kishrayness. A person has different midas. When we go through Sefer Sa'imer, we understand that each week is chesed and gevurah and tiferes, netzach, hayd, yisayd, and malchus. And in that department of chesed, so there's, in the department of chesed, so we have also, we understand that there are different sub-machlakot, but it's all under the general title, all under the general heading of this is the responsibility of this kayach that's called chesed in the person. So when you have a person, an ir ketana, who might be, this person has tremendous kishrayness, and he's b'teva, he naturally has very, very good midas. And he's a good mensch, he's a good guy, and he has good midas, and he has a good midah chesed, and he's a good person with good midas. Still, it's possible for such a person to turn around at 120 and to look back on his life and to see that there's a life of unaccomplishment, of non-accomplishment, a life where everybody looks back and says, such Rachmanis, he was such a talented person, like a gewaldige person. And when you look at each of his kaychis, you say, this person, based upon each of his kaychis, should have accomplished so much more than he accomplished in life. And why did this happen to him? And how come that happened to him? And how come it didn't work out with his professional, with his career? How come it didn't work out with family and so on? And the reason most often is that even though this little Ir Ketana, this little town, this person, the Adam, the man, has in him all of his kaiches and all of his milas. But when a person does not use his kaiches in the right time, at the right time, in the right place, but when his milas are not being used at the right time, in the right way, so then what happens is that all of those kaiches and all those milas don't necessarily turn out to create a healthy and efficient ir katana. But instead we have a person whom everybody looks at and says, oh, he's an Adam hasholim, but there's no shlemus in his life. In other words, he's great in different areas, but when we put the guy together to create this town, this village, this city of the ir katana, of the Adam, it didn't add up. Because there was an erbuvia, there was confusion. There's confusion, using different the wrong kaich at the wrong time. This midah that oversees, delegates, appoints every kishrin, every talent, every skill, every midah, every kaich, every maila to be used at the right moment in life and in the right measure in life, in the right place, with the right people. This midah is called Menuchas HaNefesh. Menuchas HaNefesh, we've heard that term before, and it can be translated in different ways. What it means, Menuchas HaNefesh. Oftentimes, we see a tzaddik, or lav davka, it could be even a pashut yid, but a person who is surrounded with peacefulness. When you look at that person, he never seems to be in a state of dahala. There seems to be always patience, tolerance, and there's a general feeling of serenity and tranquility when you're in this person's dalad amas. We were zeichet to see this by different tzaddikim. It's a trademark of many of the tzaddikim, even though we know that there were wild tzaddikim, there were wild tzaddikim. We saw a certain wildkeit and how they spoke and how they conducted themselves. But most often, we grew up seeing. We were zeichet to see different tzaddikim like this. My rabbi, Rav Dov Lifshitz, zeichet tzaddik v'kadosh levracha, was such a person that I never saw him in any state of upheaval. If it was, it never showed in any way. Even though I was in different places with him, and we were under different circumstances, I remember baking matzahs and other rabbanim that went. Everything was with nervousness, and therefore there were things that were said to the ladies in the bakery and other people there in a way of bahala sof kol sof. It's Erev Pesach, and, you know, bebehilu. You leave Mitzrayim, it's bechipazon. But I never saw in Reb David in any way that the tranquility should be upset. And I remember, and I told you once before, this is a story that I know is not so poshut to explain, and we'll talk more about this Indian later on, how it affects other people. But I remember that my Rebbe had to go once to Chicago for a very important meeting regarding Ezra's Tire. He was the head of Ezra's Tire, and he had to go to Chicago. And I was taking him to the airport. And to begin with, it was very, very hard to get my Rebbe out that day from the apartment. And I know the Rebbetzin needed something, and she was talking to Reb David, and I was getting very nervous because the flight was coming up, and I didn't know what to do. But you know, he didn't walk so quickly. He was very, very old, and so finally get to the airport, and then along the way, Reb David got very involved in an Avni Nezer. We were talking about an Avni Nezer, and he was saying over Chiddush, and we were discussing, asking back and forth. And then we were getting to the airport, and then we were sitting. I parked the car to take the Rebbe's suitcase and to go take him to the airport. And he said that we're in the middle of an Avni Nezer. Where are you going? So I said, Rebbe, this is going to be a flight. This is going to be soon. So he said, talking about an Avni Nezer. So we'll go when we're finished. And I'm watching the clock, and I'm getting so nervous about this. And then finally, we came to a certain point. It was like a little bit of a pause in the Avni Nezer, what he was saying. So I took this suitcase, I walked to the Rebbe, and then again he stopped in the parking lot. You know how Jews, when Jews don't walk and talk, kiddur. So Jews always stop when they talk, especially in learning. Wherever you are, you just stop. So it was getting very late, and I said, Rebbe, we have to go. And he said, we're going. The end of the story is that he missed his flight, the Rebbe. I know you thought it was going to have a happy ending, but for my sake, the Rebbe missed his flight. But the lima that I had from that was when we learned that it was too late, and I was very, very upset about that, what's going to be, and so on, and when's the next flight. And I remember David said, so when's the next? So they said it was like in an hour and a half, wasn't it? Like an hour and a half or two. So David said, so let's finish the Ebenezer. And when we sat down, now I don't know how that played out for other people that might have been involved in David arriving. I'm not sure. And I know that he was always sensitive and thoughtful of everybody else in the world. So I don't know what that meant, but as far as the lima that I saw of a tranquility that surrounded the tzaddik in such a way that there was not even a second of perspiration or anxiety or nervousness. So now we normally associate this quality of menuchas nefesh with a mila that a person has. Those are people that God put into the world that they're like that. There are people that are like that, that they have this kind of a teva that they were blessed with. Very few people blessed with such a teva that they're very, you call it, easygoing, that they're non-turbulent types. So we see that as being a mila, as being something extraordinary, and when you see it, we appreciate it. The fact that we look at that as being a mila, as somebody that somebody is blessed with that mila, even though it's nice as far as admiring people, but you realize that it totally saps us of any resolve to become Bali Avaida to achieve such a thing. If we think that someone's plopped into the world and that's his teva, and that and either you have that mila or you don't have that mila, that means that you're missing the most basic understanding that menuchas nefesh is not a mila. Menuchas nefesh is not like an extra additional bonus to make the person to round off like a great guy, that not only is he great and this and great and that and great and this and great and that, and smart and good and everything else, he's also a Baal Menuchas Nefesh. That's a very, very big mistake. Because the emesis, as I just said, in the Ir Ketana, the city of man cannot function without Menuchas Nefesh. And if that's true, and if that's the aside of all of our midas, Menuchas Nefesh, it means that it's the Ratzon Hashem, it's the will of Hashem, that each and every one of us achieves this in our lives. That we work for it, and that we achieve it. And that it means that you don't have to be born in that way, but it's something that you can acquire like all the other kinyanim in our Vayda Hashem and midas. It's not just that a person has such a teva. Therefore, the chizuk that we get from that is that even though some of us might feel that we were created very much not like that, the opposite way, and a person feels that the teva, I have no menucha, I have no natural tolerance or patience, and that the teva, I'm a nervous, anxious person. But when that person knows, amoik, in a very deep way, that menuchas nefesh is a mida in avodas Hashem, it's a mida that we can acquire, the fact that he by nature has this quality of nervousness, of anxiety, of restlessness and turbulence, does not mean, God forbid, that he's condemned to a life of behala, of confusion, of erbuvia, and turbulence. It means that he's ready to understand that there's a midah called menuchas nefesh, and that he could educate himself. He could learn, just like when it comes to all the other midas, and it can be acquired. And that's why we have to work on this midah of menuchas nefesh, to understand what it is. What is menuchas nefesh? What is the mahus of this midah? And once we understand, when we learn the midah, we just don't just say, I don't have it, I do have it. When we learn the midah, the Eimik in depth, which we're going to spend a lot of time learning now over these next few months, when we learn what this midah is, so then we'll be able to acquire it. If we want to, we'll be able to acquire it. So what is menuchas nefesh? Today, we're only going to begin with the Reish HaPrakim, but just the beginning. All of these things that I'm going to talk about right now, this Yisoid that I'm going to talk about right now, that I'm going to come back to it and talk much, much more in detail and go into it much more. But for now, it's just that we should enter into this marvelous, amazing world of Menuchas Nefesh, So we're just starting, just a Pesach. Menuchas Nefesh means when a person lives with a hargosha, with a feeling, a strong feeling, not just an intellectual understanding or awareness. Those of you who are learning this form of Bilvavi, the author of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, know what that sentence means. It's not enough to know something intellectually or to think about it, but to live mamish with a hargosha, with a very, very strong feeling. A feeling, a hargosha chaya, a lebedik feeling that I must make the best use, the maximum use of every single moment of my life, listen carefully, of every moment of my life, by being completely and absolutely focused with all my koyach of rikuz, of concentration, and with my koyaches to accomplish one thing. To accomplish one thing, which is the tafkid, my responsibility of this exact moment that I'm in, of this moment that I'm living in, without mixing into this moment, like the guy, like the Department of Health and Department of Transportation guys, without mixing into this moment of my life something of my past, something that upsets me or worries me or concerns me or causes me to be preoccupied for my past, or any thought, fear, anxiety, anticipation of what the future holds. But instead, Menuchas Nefesh means that I live only in this moment. Mamish, I live in this moment. Many times I told you the Maaser from Rav Moshe Lekabrina, one of the Chassidim of Rav Moshe Lekabrina was in Kotsk. And you know that the different Tzaddikim were famous for different Inyanim of Avodas Hashem. This one was for Tzedakah, this one was for his learning, this one was for Pidyon Shvuim, and so on, for Simcha. So the Kotzker asked this Kabrina Chosid, what is it that your Rebbe is, what's his greatness, what's the Nakud of your Rebbe? So the Chosid of Moshe Kabrina said, my Rebbe's greatness is whatever he's doing that moment. That's his greatness. And the Kotzker was very spoiled from that, and it wasn't so easy to impress the Kotzker. And he used to say this over all the time, that you hear there's such a thing as a Yid, whose godless is the moment he's in, whatever that moment requires. That's his tafkid for that moment. That's what he's living through. That godless of the moment is Menuchas HaNefesh. This need of Menuchas HaNefesh, to give from two tzaddik, from two different worlds, to see that they're all saying the same thing, to give a sentence from two different tzaddikim to show what Menuchas HaNefesh is. So, the Vilna Gaon once said this. And he said this to his great Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Listen carefully. Al ha'odam lachshev, a person must think, sheyesh rak odam echad ba'olam, that there's only one person in the whole world. Who's that one person? The Gaon says, hu atzmai, just you. V'yesh le'rak shah achas lichyais. And you have only this one person in the whole world has only 1 hour to live. When is that? Hashoah shel achshav, this present hour. V'yesh rak daf echad shel gemara ba'olam, talking about a person who's living Torah. And there's only one blot gemara in the entire world. There's only one blot gemara. There's no 7-year program, 3.5-year program. There's no daf yomi omid yomi halacha yomi mishnah yomi kitzur. There's only one blot gemara in the entire world. And what blot is that? Hadaf shemunach lefanu. The blot gemara that he's looking at right now. This blot gemara that he's on. Im yich yekach, the Gaon says, if a person lives this way, yatzliach. He'll be matzliach. I told once a maestro, there was a certain big Talmud Chacham in Hungary, that when he was in concentration camp. So he was put onto a certain work assignment. They were digging, the Nazis in Achshmon were digging some sort of a tunnel. And it was a whole nice how he found this, but there was the Germans in Achshmon, when the Jews came off the trains, the cattle cars, they took their things, and they whatever they could steal that they wanted to use, they took, otherwise they threw it out. They used for other things. So there was some Yidna that came, Nebuchadnezzar, schlepping Gemaras. that came as Svarim. Those were the most precious possessions. So this Talmud Chacham was sent on some work detail, and there were things that were wrapped there in some paper, and he looked at this paper, and it was a blat gemar from a Sefer Chagiga. It was a blat gemar. So he saw this, and he said, "Mamish kivam chiyasani," that lulei sarasu shashua, that with this blat gemar, this is how he was able to survive the concentration camp. He was able somehow to keep this blat gemar. And he went back, and he was machaya the rest of his chevra, the broken friends. He was machaya them with his blat gemara, and to go over and to learn deeper and deeper this blat gemara. So, in that world, they weren't given a choice. And this Talmud Chacham wasn't given a choice. He had his one blat gemara. What the Gaon is saying is that when a person lives this way, as if there's nothing else, only this blat gemara in front of him, and that becomes his life for that moment, kach yatzliach. This way he'll be matzliach, he'll be successful. Let's go from Vilna, take a bit of a long train ride over to the Ukraine, and let's listen to what Rabbi Nachman said. We're going to come back a lot to what Rabbi Nachman said and to what the Gaon said. In the first Chelek, Lekut Amaran, Simon Reish Ayin Beis, we've spoken about this before, and we're going to talk about it more in this Hashem. Hayom im b'kolos ishmo. It says in the Pasuk, today, hayom im b'kolos ishmo. If you listen to Hashem's voice, today. So what does that mean, hayom im b'kolos ishmo? Zeh klal gadol, Rabbi Nachman taught, this is a great klal, a great yisoid, a principle, b'avodas Hashem, in the service of God. Zeh klal gadol b'avodas Hashem. Shlo yosim l'neged einav, that a person should only have before his eyes, kim oisei hayayim v'oisei hashah. All he has is this day and this hour. And then Rabbi Nachman says, it's not only in Avodas Hashem. It's only when you're learning the davening, doing this. Chayim v'esek panasosu v'stachusay. Even when you're in panasa, when you're working, or taking care of other needs. Sarach shlo yachshav miyom l'chaveyu. Don't think from one day to the next. Don't think from what we'll learn. You could put aside a time for that. There's a time for planning. But when you're in that job, when you're doing what you're doing something that you need to be doing, Rabbi Nachman says, "Shlo yachshav miyom l'chaveiroi." Don't think from one day to the next. Ki ein l'ha'adam ba'aylamai, because all a person has in his world. Kim oisai hayayim. All a person has in his world, and we'll come back to that, in his world, as we learned last year after Pesach, each person is mamish, a separate world. And that's what we were talking about last year, not to try to understand his world from the perspective of your world. That's what Rabbi Nachman says. A person has, all a person has in his world is that day, and that hour, that he's in. Because the next day, is altogether an underveld. It's a different world. And that, the Zed, Rabbi Nachman says, that is the meaning of Hayyim in the Kolei Sishmo, Hayyim Davka. If you really truly want to listen to God's voice, if that's what concerns you in life, and you really truly want to be a Jew that's an Eved Hashem, Rabbi Nachman says, then you have to live with this limud, with this way of life, which is called Hayyim, today. This is exactly what the Gaon was saying. Rabbi Nachman and the Gaon are both telling us the yisoid of Menuchas HaNefesh, and that Menuchas HaNefesh is the only way to be a Yid, is the only way to be an Eved Hashem. It's not a nice thing, a peaceful guy. It's the yisoid of Hayyim and Mekolos Hashmo. And Rabbi Nosson added, Ikabias Hamashiach Talibaza. Rabbi Nosson added in Lekut Telach is that the Ikabias Hamashiach, the arrival of Mashiach, depends mostly on this. Ki Omer Chazal Shesholu LeMashiach Emosai Kosi Mar. The Gemara tells us that if Yeshua ben Levi met Mashiach and asked him, "When are you coming?" and the Heshev answered, "Hayyim Imakolos Hashmo." The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, "Hayyim, today." So Rabbi Shulam Levi got all excited. Hayom, he went and told everybody. But then he came back and said, "How come you didn't come?" He said, "Tainus." He said, "Hayom in the kolos ishmo." What Rabbi Nosson learns from here is that the ikke bias Mashiach, the ikke bias Mashiach depends on this avoda of menuchas and nefesh, the avoda of hayom in the kolos ishmo. Means that every single minute that a person spends in this amazing world of menuchas and nefesh contains within it a hisnaitesis, a sparkling, shining piece of Yemais HaMashiach. Which the ikke of Yemais HaMashiach is going to be that. The ikke of Yemais HaMashiach is going to be when Mashiach comes that we're not going to be living, thinking about what was or what's going to be, but we're going to be living mamish. And living mamish means there's only one thing that I'm living, which is the moment that I'm in. This moment that I'm in. And that's why Chazal say that the word in Hebrew, ata, ayin tafei, not aleph, but ayin tafei, which means now. So Chazal say, vein va'ata ela tshuva. That va'ata and now means tshuva, means doing tshuva. Because Chazal are telling us, they understood that it's impossible to return to the Rebbeinu Shlomo to do tshuva unless a person suras achayim, unless he lives a life of va'ata, of and now. Only that suras achayim of menuchas and nefesh, a suras achayim of va'ata, of hayayim, or as the Goyin says, it's only you, and it's only today, and it's only this blat gemara, only such a person who lives in that now can truly do tshuva. So, when the Goyin said, "Sheish rak adam echad ba'olam atzmai," that there's only one person in the world, and it's you, he wasn't talking about, God forbid, somebody being egocentric or being an egomaniac. And this is what we spoke about last year. Like the Mesillas Yisrael says at the beginning, "Sheish bar v'yisami says, well, the machay v'asai ba'olamai." Each person is his own world. The Gro wasn't saying, God forbid, to ignore other people and not to care about other people. He was saying that in Pnimius, it's true that each person is mamish ayachid by lova. Each person is a separate world. Just like we spoke about in the Marshal of the Department of Health and the Department of Transportation. Each one is a separate thing with separate kishonis and separate kairos. And therefore the Rebbeinu Shalom gave, and this is the aside of believing this, is really what we spoke about last year, the Chazar Ovid, that each person has something, besides all of terms to do our best, that each person has a certain tafkid, that he was given a certain responsibility, a certain cabinet position, a certain job, that he has a tafkid to accomplish during his 120 years, that no Jew ever had before, and no Jew will ever have an identical thing, an identical responsibility, and therefore the world that the Vilna Gaon was talking about, that it's only you in the world, means that the Baruch Shalom gave you specifically certain kishreinus, as we spoke about this last year, certain talents, certain kairos, and certain problems, and certain shortcomings and difficulties that because the Baruch Shalom, in order for you to do what you have to do, you have to work with these things and fight with them and overcome certain things, and that you have to come from this family, and you were born at this time and this place, and you met this wife, and you have these kids. Every single thing is all to create that world of the Ir Katana, the small city that's man. And there's nobody who ever lived or who will live who could do what you have to do during your 120 years. And that's what it says in Parak. Im ein ani li, mi li. If it's not me, then who is it? That's also not egocentric. It's a feeling of responsibility. Im ein ani li, mi li. And that's what Rabbi Nachum said. That's what the Mishnah says. V'im loy achshav emasai. V'im loy achshav emasai means living with that awareness of the achshav of now. That the Baruch Shalom is telling me that he gave me something that he wants me to do now. And v'im loy achshav emasai, if I don't take care of my responsibility, then it's not going to be taken care of because no one else before or after could do this. And even myself, it has to be done now. And that's why the Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhin says, talk in the second shire, Shema'esha Teknu, he's talking about the Seder of Tefillah that was established by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, by the men of the Great Assembly. And he says that from that time, Shema'esha Teknu Ad Bias HaGoyl, until Mashiach comes, La hayev la yeh shum tefila b'protes daim alachavata. Shekaydim la b'achareha. He says, since the time the Anshei Knesset Gadol established davening, there was never two davenings that were the same. Not to us. This seems almost incredulous. You know, I come in every single day. I'm saying Baruch Shem, I'm saying Asher, I'm saying Shtach, I'm saying Shemana Esrei. So every now and then there's a Reish Chodesh, there's a little Yontu. But otherwise, I'm saying mamish the same things. And here Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, Shema Eishi Teknu Ad Bias HaGoyel, from the time that the davening was set up, till Mashiach comes, La Hayev La Yiyah Shum Tfila B'Protas Doim Alechavet HaShakayim L'Vacharech Klal. No two tefillas were ever the same tefillas. It's the same words. But the olam is, at that moment of your life, and everything that needs to be fixed and needs to be worked on with those words is entirely different. And all the tefillas, there hasn't been, by all of Klai Yisrael, there's never been two tefillas. And Kol Yom L'Chaver Shulafon of Achav. And Reb Chaim says, and there have never been 2 days that have been the same. There's never ever been 2 days that are identical since the time of the beginning until the end. And that is the awareness of Imlay Akshav Emesai, which we'll talk much more about again today, just Rashi Prokim, that every single day is mamish a different world, and every single hour is a different world. And that's why a person lives with the Blat Gemara that's in front of him, for the Ben Torah, the fellow sitting in yeshiva. So if he has machshavas, if he has thoughts when he's sitting in yeshiva, I wasted so many years. I wasted so many years. I know myself, when I think back on high school, and that time, and we had such a choshev rabbi, such a huge talmid chacham, and I was zeichet to be by him for 3 years, and I think about how much time was wasted. Ad hayom, even though it's so many years later, that old thought of wasted time, and the effect that those wasted years had upon my learning now, that's constantly creeping into my present life, into my achshav, And it takes away from my action. So a person can think about the past and think, well, what am I going to learn? I didn't learn until now what I didn't. I was supposed to learn last year. I didn't accomplish last year. I was an SSL last year, and I set out to do this, and I didn't do that. Or I had chavrusas, and I didn't do this. Or if the person has machshavas of what he wants to finish, how much he has to finish, and where he's going to with this, and what's going to be in the future, and how am I going to be able to learn next week? You have people that when you talk to them, when we talk to them, they're never ever living in the Akshav. Even if they're always talking about how something has to be or what's going to be 2, 3, 4 weeks from now. There's somebody that I love very much that I always joke with her, because she's already Pesachdik. She's Pesachdik already from Purim, mamish from Purim. So whenever it comes to Pesach, to Erev Pesach, I always say to her, so by you it's already holding by Shavuos, so you already have Chametz in your house, because she's everything has to be 3 weeks, a month before. So what does that mean? An Eilach Yid prepares for Pesach. But if that preparation is not Mitoich Menuchas HaNefesh, but if it's a preparation that comes from the weakness of Behola, of confusion, of anxiety, if it's not living in that Blad Gemara, in that moment that you're in, not that you should be irresponsible, we'll talk a lot about this over the next few months, but a person has to always make a million cheshbonos of how something is going to be next week, and 2 weeks, and 3 weeks, and we're going to do like this, we're going to have to do like this, it's going to be this way, it's going to be that way, and have to have everything... Either way, if you're living in a world of Mashahaya, or in a world of Mashahiyya, if you're living in Mashahaya, Mashahaya, Mashahiyya, but you're not living in this world, that you're in this moment, so you could very well be missing the boat. And there's a teaching of the Chavos Chaim on Pesukim that every one of us knows that we live with this Pesuk every day of our lives. But the Chavos Chaim, how he said it, he said, V'ahayu advarim ha'ela. In Shema, these words, Chavos Chaim said, these words, like the Gaon said, this Gemara, this piece of Gemara, V'ahayu hadvarim ha'ela, right now, Asher anoichi mitzavcha, that I am commanding you, Chavos Chaim said this in the singular, I'm commanding you in your little world, in your city, of who you are, not mitzavchem, not that I've commanded the Jewish people, right now, I, the Baruch Shalom, I'm commanding you, Yankele, I'm commanding you to understand this Rashi. Where's this Rashi? This Rashi is not in Ksubas, this Rashi is not in Gittin, this Rashi is on this blot that you're right now in Bav Metziah. This is the Rashi you're in. Asher anoichi mitzavcha hayom. Let these words that I'm commanding you, anoichi mitzavcha, you specifically. Hayom, Ashanach Misalka, Hayom, Alevavacha, Hayom, this day. And so it is with every single thing that a person does in life. Ashanachim is Fahoyu Hadvam Ha'ela, Ashanachim is Saka Hayyim, Alavavacha. This is the Tzura Pnimis of Menuchas and Nefesh, which we're going to talk a lot more about. There's one of the earlier Chachamim, there's a famous saying from one of the earlier Chachamim that you've all heard of and has been mentioned many times. Ha'avar Ayin, V'ha'asid Adayin, Vahoyve Keherif Ayin. Ha'avar Ayin, the past is no longer. V'ha'asid Adayin, and the future hasn't yet happened. Vahoyve, the present, Keherif Ayin, is like the wink of an eye. It goes so fast. What this mimer of that Chacham, it's not from Chazal, somewhere, but what this mimer of the Chacham means is that all a person has be'emes, this is what Rabbi Nachman and the Gaon was saying, all a person has by Lomo is the Heref Ayin. All he has is that moment that passes so quickly. That's the whole metzias of a person, the whole metzias of life, the emes is the Heref Ayin. That's the side of Nuchas Nefesh. So therefore, there's a very sad Metzias that doesn't live this way. And the sad Metzias is, oftentimes, you see by an old person. An old person is b'teva, older people are much, much more likely to talk about the past. Let me understand why. Not just to talk about the past, but to mamish live in the past. Akedekach, that they just return there. Completely. Anybody that has the time to listen will be drawn into that past and to sit and listen. And I remember when I first came to the home of my in-laws and my wife's grandmother, Allah Shalom. So she was there and I came and she said, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem," and she asked I should come sit down. She spoke very little English and I saw like everybody else like start to get up and go. And I didn't know what was happening exactly, but I realized afterwards that I was chosen for that moment, for the next 2 or 3 hours, to listen to the same Meisim from Bialystok and from Vilna and that world. And that was, you know, and everybody else that had put in many, many, many years of that Malacha, and they picked like a new guy. And they welcomed me into the house, and I saw that everybody just like walked out of the room, and there I was with Bubi, you know, and I was... That was my sister's chus to hear it. She had amazing things to say about remembering the Chabad Chaim and remembering of Chaim Weiser and so on. But you know that this is the nature of an old person. Why? It's obvious. Because the person's present moment of life, he feels or she feels so weak and so unable to accomplish and so dependent on other people. It's Rachmanis. The old person feels now like removed from the domain of productivity, of being a productive person. To think about the future, it's a pachad. Why should I think about the future? Because the future is scary. Because every time they think about the future, there's the Malach HaMavis, that's the Grim Reaper with his Kalim standing there waiting. So they don't want to think about the future, because what is the future? To think about the present, what can I do? I can't do anything. So the obvious place to go to is the past, and to tell stories over and over and over again. This is a terrible and very tragic mistake. That we know that this is what you don't see this by the Gedolim and by big, big, big tzaddikim. It's a tragic mistake, because as long as the person has one breath in him, it means that the Ratzon Hashem is that he be here and that he has something right now. Right now, there was a very inspiring thing that I heard Olein with a shiva a few weeks ago, when the Chavim lost his father. It was a piece of that world of Warsaw from before the Milchama. So many tzaddikim. It was a very, very amazing, special little Jew. And at the shiva, they were saying how really at the last tekufa, the last period of his life, he really was not understanding, and he wasn't into things, and he was sort of yeshiva bottom. The only thing that got him excited is someone would go up there, and one of the sons would go up and say, "Tata, just learn that, because you want to learn a little bit." Lenin, Avada, Avada Lenin. And then they would take out a Gemara, and it was like a different world. Lenin, Avada Lenin, to learn. So a person could say, like, what, he's learning for Smicha? Like, now everybody has to be goal-oriented. You know, why are you learning? Towards which end are you learning? You're learning to do what? You're learning to get smicha, you're learning to make money, you're learning to impress people. What are you learning? What do you want to get this job, you want to get that job, you want to be a Rebbe, you want to be a Rav, you want to be a Mashpia, a Kira, what do you want? Lenin, Avada, Avada, Lenin means in that moment. Whatever that moment is, if it means smiling at a grandchild or a great-grandchild, if it means writing a check for tzedakah, if it means just being in that share and being a source of tremendous chizik for everyone in the family who sees what a Jew is by looking at this older person, whatever that is, you also have a herifying. You also have an achshav, an imlo achshav. Till the last breath, a person has that imlo achshav. He has that menuchas and nefesh of that moment that he's living in. With young people, it's mamish the opposite. The young person, so the past, what's the past? There's nothing. The past is nothing. The snarishkeit. So then to think about, for a young person to think about the past, there's no tachlis. The future is gewaltig, because the young person is thinking every single second. Think of every teenager. How will I look? Who will I marry? What will be my job? What will my kids be? Where will I live? Everything is chalom. Everything is from that world of adayim. Whereas the old person lives in the world of ayin, the past no longer is. The young person lives in the chalom of adayin, of something that isn't even yet. But the old person is at least it was something. But the young person, he doesn't live in the moment. He lives in the world of adayin. What's going to be, which is all halaimness, all demyainness, what's going to be. Everybody knows that whatever you thought it's going to be, each and every one of us knows that wasn't the way we thought it's going to be. So, but the young person slips into that world of adayin, and that gives him tremendous hanah. And the years can go by, and everybody's saying, what's going on? This is the one in the yearbook that was most likely to succeed. This was the one that everybody said had such gevaldik akayich and gevaldik ishrayinus, and he's always telling you it's going to be like this, it's going to be like that. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to get mad. I'm going to have a shalom. I'm going to have panos. I'm going to be a talmud chacham. I'm going, and everything is all part of that adayin. What they both have in common, the 90-year-old and the 16-20-year-old, what they both have in common is that they're not living in a place of harif ayin, and therefore they don't experience the menuchas and nefesh of giving oneself completely over to that moment that you're in. And we understand, and we feel this all the time when it comes, especially when it comes to davening, that here you have the few moments of the day to spend with the Rebbeinu Shalom in such intimacy, in such privacy, to spend with the Rebbeinu Shalom the time of tefillah. But everybody knows that davka, when you come to daven, you start to think of everything that was yesterday and what you have to do the rest of the day that day. You start to think, I have to meet Beryl at this time, I have to meet Shmerl at that time, and what happened to me yesterday, and how come I didn't take care of that, and today I'm going to take care of it. So it's an unbelievable thing that here a person has a few minutes to come into the Baruch Shalom, a few minutes to be with the Baruch Shalom and to talk directly to the Baruch Shalom in such a way. All that tefillah means, which obviously we're not talking about. But what takes it away, and that he has no menuchas and nefesh, what takes it away, he has no menuchas and nefesh, is thoughts of the past, even if they're religious thoughts. How come I did this away, or why did I do this, and that, and I didn't learn this, I have to, and how come I wasn't nice to my mother yesterday, I wasn't nice to my sister, or things of the future. Usually it's not in rochnius and gashmius, but it could be even in rochnius, but what the common denominator is, that there's no menuchas and nefesh, there's no living in the moment. Certainly, as we're going to talk a lot about, there has to be a time that a person's kaveya, that a person sets aside a time to think about the past and to plan for the future. There's a time for that too. And when you do that, you have to do that with menuchas and nefesh. But that's not how it works. We don't do that. We just go on with life. And when do we think of the past and the future? Like by davening, which is ridiculous. Or when you're in the middle of work and you're supposed to be doing something else, you're thinking about, oh, I messed up yesterday, I'm going to do it better tomorrow. And you're not living in the harif ayin of the present moment. This is the hakadara of menuchas hanefesh. We're going to mention Shema over the course of the next few months. We're going to try to learn this Inyan with Menuchas and Nefesh. I'm not going to jump ahead because there's so much that we need to accomplish. To end already with a tefillah. The Banishim should help to bring each and every one of us to this, to taste of the sweetness, of the unbelievable sweetness of the Masikas, of Shuvi Nafshin Mechaychi, of being in that place, of that way of living, of that way of thinking of Nuchas and Nefesh. So we'll be Zeichim Hashem for that time when Mashiach will come, where there will never ever be anything but only the moment, and every moment will be Mamish like it was never before and will never be again. We should be Zeichim Hashem to see that.